All right, good afternoon. We will call to order the meeting of the Open Government Committee for the Jacksonville Ethics Commission. If everybody could maybe on the record state their name so that we know that we have a quorum. Do we need to do that? Or just note that we have a quorum?
That's fine, for the record, because we're taping it.
Okay.
John Hartley.
And Dave Ryback.
And that gives us a quorum for our meeting. Leslie Jean-Barre. That helps. Okay, so we'll start with number two, new business, which is review and revision of the Open Government Committee strategic plan for 2016. If you notice the document, it's a one-sheet document, and it states Ethics Commission Strategic Goals 2016 to 2017 update. And actually on the back is where we have the strategic order, the plan for our committee, Transparency and Open Government Committee. Do we need to, what is the proper name for our committee right now? And I know we thought about changing the name.
You know, there isn't any proper name. I think we have one in our current rules, but it's changed almost every year. So, Jerry, do you have the current rules? And we'll tell you what the current rules of the commission say it,
okay,
the name is. And you may want to simplify it and...
as of January.
Well, these aren't the rules, the operating procedures. Here we go. Operating procedures. Okay, this is in our internal operating procedures. Standing committees are as follows. Internal operations, complaints, legislative, and open government, period.
Okay.
Open government. So in our rules, it says open government. And then... transparency got added into it about 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. So we have for our goal, promote transparency, support and enhance city education, employees and officials, and citizen education / interaction. Any comments about the goal?
Something we should aspire to, huh?
Yes. Number one, define role, responsibilities, and goals of Transparency and Open Government Committee for year and time period for completion of each goal. First quarter of 2017 to be completed and presented to full Ethics Commission in March 2017. Is this stated that we need to come up with our goal? Okay. All right. Number two, develop a plan to educate citizens on city council procedures and city ethics laws. Then we have a bullet point here, recommended tasks, review It's Our Government course, produce basic course for citizens to complete online to educate them on ethics and city council procedures. Then it states here, use council member Lori Boyer's modules too. Work with League of Women Voters, create a green room orientation for citizens that Ethics Commission members can deliver, have a course be online. Supervisor of Elections has agreed to get out info on it to registered voters. Okay, there was a lot here. All right, so we start with review is our government course. Carla, do you want to give us a little background on that?
The idea was to have the Ethics Commission be responsible for outreach to citizens that if they were having a difficult time interacting with city government, that we would be the source that they would go to. And that came from a history of many calls coming into the hotline where citizens were upset about something, but it was because they didn't understand the procedure for approaching city council, or they didn't understand which meeting to attend to speak about a bill. I mean, there were all these things, and they'd call the hotline and complain. And I thought, well, it's not a hotline issue. It's an education issue. We have to back it up. And so what do we have for citizens who want to get active to get basic orientation? And so there's been different thrusts along those lines. And one of them was It's Our Government course, which was done about 5 or 6 years ago, drafted by my office and the League of Women Voters, and we had about 5 or 6 other community organizations. And it actually was finished. It's up on our website now. And we just had an intern about 6 months ago go through the whole course and try to update it, make it more user-friendly, because the website of the city has changed since then. But the idea was that a citizen got a check, like a checklist, and they would do the 10 things on that checklist, and all the materials would be there online. And when they finished, they would have a basic understanding of how to find out where a bill was, who their city council member was, who their state legislator was. And then at the end, there was even a link for them to register to vote if they hadn't registered to vote. And the course only took about an hour to do. And I had my 85-year-old at the time mother go through the course. And, you know, she got through it. And at the end, they also get on the mailing list for the Ethics Commission. And so we were thinking of doing something like that. It just needs to be updated. Someone thinking with, what are the key things you need to tell a citizen, and how can we distill it to, you know, the simplest way to teach them about that? What 5 things do they need to know? And then having that up on the website, and then taking it to organizations around the city, Kiwanis and Rotary, and, you know, and saying, you know, this course, if you had 100%, we're going to list whoever has like 70, you know how the bar does, like the firms that have people that do pro bono work. It'd be like if your group has more than 60% of your members that have done this government orientation course, you know, we're going to list you on our website as being, you know, so we're trying to get, and then at city council meetings twice a month, anybody who completed the course is invited to come to the green room and meet the president of city council before the city council meeting, and they get to sit in the front row. And so we're doing an outreach of trying to get people to understand and come to city council and care about their local government. That was the idea for him.
Okay. Now, where do you find that now? Where is that?
On the ethics department, not ethics commission, ethics website.
Now, how would people know that that's there?
We tell them in our board and commission trainings, and you know, I mean, that's the way we get it out.
But on the city council website, is it direct them? Could we, is that something we could do?
We could. And then I talked to the council president, Lori Boyer, about this, and she realized that people coming up for zoning issues were upset about something, but they didn't really understand the process. And she developed these really good modules on zoning. And Peggy Sidman has one on how a bill becomes a law. So there's little pieces of this around that have been done, but none of them have been brought together and simplified and put in one central place for citizens to have. So I think there are some communities around the country that have done really good citizen outreach programs and education programs. And I just think, you know, like open government, I mean, that assumes that people know anything about their government and they know how to approach it. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason for that education component.
Do you have any metrics of how many people have taken the course? So can you see that from your site?
No, we could figure that out with IT on how many people. I doubt if it has been highly promoted, or you really have to have sort of a game with it, like United Way, where you see the little thermometer getting filled up. Like, how do you get like a community engaged with that type of thing?
So is the ask to update this training?
To develop it. Think with what a citizen wants to know. Ask some citizens what would be useful. Come up with what do we have, what do we need, and kind of piece it together.
Like, for example, the training that you did the other day, is this site shared at in your deck? Mm-hmm. To say, go here if you want to learn more?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you, I think a first step for this committee would be maybe to pull it up yourself. And,
yes.
And it's like,
that's what I was thinking, step one.
You know, and then as you're going through it, making comments like, boy, this seems obtuse, or there needs to be a little bit more here, or this isn't even relevant. Who wants to know about this anyhow? And evaluating it as you do it. And then if we maybe enlisted 2 or 3 of our unsuspecting friends to also take a look at it, then we've reviewed it and we know if it's doable. Because if we get a good product out with this, Jerry Holland, when he was supervisor of elections, said he would send out the link to every registered voter in Duval County. That would be huge.
Definitely.
You know? So, but first, before we promote it like that, we want to make sure we've got a good product.
Right, right. Okay, so it is February. I think this is something that we can accomplish by the end of the year. I think that's easy to say. Step one is reviewing the It's Our Government course that's online and making any notes, reaching out to other individuals to see if they would review it and make notes. Maybe think of some community groups of maybe putting it on their page or emailing them and saying, you know, give us some feedback.
The League of Women Voters would do that.
Okay, that'd be good. And then the next step would be for us to get back together and discuss any recommendations we have, what we want to add. Now, Councilwoman Lori Boyer's modules, do we have access to those, or how could we get access to that?
They were in her desk in a folder, and I have one copy of it, but I will get my hands
okay. And then we have, you mentioned Peggy Sitman's How a Bill Becomes a Law.
Irby, could you get a hold of that? She has Peggy has materials on that.
I will certainly request it. I can't make any guarantees I can obtain it, but I will request it.
Understood. Thank you so much. So with this being already the end of February, maybe by late or mid or late March, we can meet again. Give us a couple weeks because we have the full committee meeting Monday. And so, and I know we have other issues to discuss, but I would state that our first quarter goal would be for us to meet before the end of the quarter to discuss our thoughts and comments about the existing our government course, the modules, and how a bill becomes a law if we have access to them.
And if you want, I can send out an email to the League of Women Voters and concerned taxpayers, and if I think of some other large groups, and just say, you know, we have this course. We're thinking of developing some others. What modules would you want?
Very
and
good.
See if we get any. So I'll send out an email.
Does everybody agree with that first quarter goal?
Yes.
Do we need to vote officially, or just is that sufficient? Okay.
You mentioned a number of groups, but I think it'd be of interest to kind of, you know, since this is really outreach to citizens, what is comprehensive of a target audience, and maybe we don't get them right away, maybe we factor them in, but for a strategic plan, walk before you run, you don't want to do everything and try to throw it out and see what sticks, but maybe think about timelines and objectives, and we can certainly go beyond this year for targeting of organizations, but maybe the, you know, I think I met the
this weekend at a retreat, the head of, incoming head of the Rotary. So perhaps that's a contact that we can connect. And, you know, also being respectful that I don't act on behalf of the commission, but how we can make this happen. So our chair, the very person who's doing the outreach, so we can make sure we do that.
Right. And I think if you, at least we have three reviews of the three of you, when you take a look at that, and if you can rustle up one friend who will take a look at it, then we have six. And I'll ask League of Women Voters and Concerned Taxpayers and your Rotary contact, if you get that to me, to get someone to take a look at it. And we'll have some feedback. We'll be able to design a more comprehensive path, I think.
I mean, who is our audience? Are we going to try to target people that are already involved in government, kind of preaching to the choir, or are we going to target people that have no clue?
Both. I mean, I really think both.
So that's a wide range. So you got people that are, you know, with Rotary and all that are active and want to do and want to learn, and people that come and do things that they don't have a clue how this works.
And then we have the sporadic citizens where they come once in their lifetime for one issue.
Right.
And we can actually have handouts when people go into city council, like here is the information to take this course so you're a more informed citizen. So, yeah, there's all those groups.
And we could also just announce it at the meeting on Monday to see if any other commission members want to review it and make any recommendations to us.
Very nice.
Anything else we want to add to our first quarter goal? Or let's go to number maybe three and let's see. Review role of EC regarding ethics training of city employees and officials and update ethics code. Proposed resolution date of May 1st, 2017. So that would be during the second quarter. The role of the EC, is there some discussion about whether or not the Ethics Commission should be the one doing the training, ethics training for city and official?
Yeah, I'll give you the history on that. Like when we first required ethics training in 1999, there was no staff in the ethics office, and the only entity that was there to see if anybody was doing the training was the Ethics Commission. But now that we have it more formalized and we have an office and we put on all the training and you know, and we have all kinds of dates and guidelines of when we need to do it, we're pretty much self-sufficient in the ethics office. So, but that brings up the question, like, what role does the Ethics Commission have now that we've evolved and we have staff? What role does the Ethics Commission have on the training? It's really a staff function. And so over the years, the Ethics Commission looks at that. It's in the code. And I don't know the exact wording of maybe Cherry, could you find the... You've got the code. You brought your book. The Ethics Commission duty on training. See, and if your duty is to monitor training, then every like couple of years, the Ethics Commission gets together and says, "Well, it says here we're supposed to be doing something. Yeah, it says we're supposed to be doing something. What are we supposed to be doing?" And really, if we're doing our job, then you wouldn't have to be doing anything. Or then someone said, "Well, let's review all the training materials." That's a big job for volunteers to do. You don't want to really like be doing that type of thing. So what does it say? It says
looking for something.
So this would be a matter of changing it from Ethics Commission to basically for the staff.
Yeah, now here's what it says specifically. So you have to decide if you want to do this. Okay. If you don't, then should the code be changed or what exactly is the role here? So it was just defining it. It doesn't matter like what it ends up being defined. It's just that we all have to be on the same page. It says provide assistance and input.
In the site two, it's
602. Yeah, 921. You're under your duties and powers.
And it's subsection
B. Okay. Provide assistance and input into the management and coordination of the training and education of local officers and employees in state and local ethics, including the city's ethics education program, as well as public records and sunshine training throughout government. Now, I also have that duty in the ECHO office, and I just developed a compliance plan for every section of the code, what it requires of training, who is required to train, and a rollout program for all of those components. So that's the type of thing that we monitor. And I suppose, like, I mean, we could just leave this the way, but doesn't it sound like you're, you know, really like in a day-to-day operational type thing of developing training?
But we could change that to something like that you would report to us on the progress of that, and how then, you know, make sure that it's your role and we're reviewing it.
Right, and like this compliance program that I just, you know, here's what we'll do, Deborah, if you could put this down. I'll send you the compliance program that I have on education for the code, and that outlines everything that we're supposed to be doing. If that is all in one place and we're doing all of that, I think you monitoring that to make sure that nothing's dropping through the cracks and if anybody has any good ideas on how we can do it better. But you don't want to get into reviewing the actual materials and the, you know, I mean, that is going to be...
I would agree. I think there might be an option from a monitoring standpoint, maybe a training or two. Mm-hmm. Might not be a bad thing for this subcommittee to be able to...
Observe.
I think your plan sounds like it's met the objectives, and if we have oversight mm-hmm. of that, any of the overall metrics of training, you know, just as you sent us the examples and surveys, mm-hmm. that to me made me feel pretty good.
Yes.
Okay, well, then what we'll try to do is be more consistent on evaluating all the trainings, and then you'll get little, we always ask for that to be sent to us, and then you'd see that, and then our compliance program, and maybe occasionally coming in to observe some of the programs. So that means that when we have training programs, Deborah Kirby, that we need to copy the the transparency subcommittee so that they, you know, they might, you know, have some free time and they can come and look in.
I actually did observe one last year.
Yeah. I mean, you're invited. Yeah. You're invited always to the big June
We're
one.
We're covered. Thanks.
Yeah. I think it was in June. It was city council.
It's the big one. Every June we train all of city council, and that's the big one, and that's where we like to have the ethics commission members stand up. And you know, so that's a really good one. So you would be observing. And then we'll let you know of the other ones we do in the city, like the boards and commissions and stuff like that, that you could come to.
Is there a calendar that exists that just giving access to a calendar rather than formal announcement?
Is that something you put on, maybe you'll put on the website?
We put the training of boards and commissions on or no?
That'd be hard to do.
We put the training dates for the boards and commissions on the boards and commissions website.
You know what might be good, and if we just do this as an action item, Deborah, to have upcoming training on the main page for the Ethics Commission and the Ethics Office, and we'll have upcoming training, and we'll list some of that.
Okay.
You know, and please call, before you come, please call to, you know, or email
Verify.
To confirm that this training is on, and we'll put that on the front page, and so you can kind of take a look at it, and if you're inspired, you can just come to whatever one we're running that particular month.
Good. We have a proposed resolution date of May 1st. I think that's certainly doable, and I don't know if we need to change the language or just tweak it a little bit. You think it's fine?
I think it's fine. I think
as long as we do the steps that we mentioned.
Right.
Okay.
Observe, compliance program review, and sit in on, any surveys that are taken. You get copies of the evaluations.
So we could note today as for number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Yes.
Yep.
We're moving along.
Man, progress.
Exactly.
You know, and I think I'd prefer not making any changes to the code at all. And, you know, part of what we'll be doing. It tells everybody what we're doing, right? And where we're going. Technical language wordsmithing every time.
That works.
Subcommittees.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow you'll get the compliance program on education.
Okay. Number 4. Develop an EC resolution to get sole source contracts to remain online indefinitely. Now they are only kept up for 7 days. And Greg Peace?
Peace, yeah.
Okay, briefed EC on April 8, 2015 needs to be changed by Transparency and Open Government Committee.
I got good news on that. It's all been right. Done.
We are just moving along. Check this out.
Now, I can tell you that that was like a five-year cycle that when sole source contracts go up online, they'd post them online per the code, and then after 7 days, they disappear, and you'd never be able to find them again.
Right.
So the idea was if they stay up indefinitely online, it is a transparency measure, and it's one that if you say that the only person who can cater an event of food into City Hall is this company, then the person who requested that and the reason for it and the amount of money spent stays up online indefinitely.
Nice.
Very good.
And that is a chilling effect on people, you know, trying to, not that anyone would ever do anything to get contracts to family and friends, but that is a chilling effect if we have the transparency. Now, there is a problem with this that you should follow up on. I have an email on it where Greg Pease emailed me. He said, it's done. And I said, I went to the site and I tracked down exactly what's being posted. And what's posted for the 7 days now goes to another place where it's posted indefinitely, but some of this information is removed. And I thought, well, why, you know, because in the initial one, it's something like John Hartley requested a sole source contract for balloons for City Hall, and it's because no one else in the city manufactures balloons. And, you know, so that goes up for 7 days. But then when it goes up permanently, none of the justification is there, or balloons or anything. All you see is a purchase order for $500 for balloons or whatever it is.
You
got to
do your own research if you want to see.
How do you hook it back to this? And it's still not transparent. Do you know what I mean? So it looks like now it's being kept up indefinitely, but it's still. So I wrote an analysis of that. And Deborah, if you could do a little note to remind me to send that to you tomorrow, because if we drill down on that and even have Greg Pease come and talk to you about how we can do this, I fail to see why some of this information is removed when it goes up permanently. And you ought to be able to search, and it is not a hard IT thing to do, but if you are a balloon manufacturer, you ought to be able to type the word balloon in and see if any balloon contracts have gone out. If you're concerned about someone giving out sole source contracts, you ought to be able to put in John Hartley's name and see if he has put in for any sole source contracts under his name. It's not searchable now, so we're creating a database that's not usable for citizens. I think it was very hard for me to track it.
Well, and with all the hoops they make you jump through to do that, then mm-hmm. they ought to show the work that the people do to show that they need to have a sole source contract.
Right.
So you would think.
You would think.
You would think that. But anyhow, so just because the first part of this is done doesn't mean that it doesn't have a second part here. So I'll send you that email tomorrow, and I think I would be very grateful if we could really follow up on that, because you would be surprised the number of sole source contracts that go out in the city. There are no metrics, which is another question on transparency. Yeah, truly, like what percent of the contracts that go out are sole source and proprietary? Because proprietary is another category. And I you know, there may be nothing to discuss there for citizens, but it could be. Yeah. But over the years, over the last 10 years, I've got numerous hotline calls on that, and the audit that we discussed where we had the Ethics Commission complaint all had to do with sole source contracts. There are many examples of this, and so I don't think we've drilled down enough on it, and I think the only entity that has an interest in doing that is sitting here with you three people.
You still have a co-op in the group?
A co-op?
An intern?
No. But any of those figures, the procurement department would be able to get those for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you requested, we need figures A, B, and C.
Maybe what we could do at our next meeting is invite Greg to come in and give us actually a presentation of going through procurement and explaining some of the issues that we have, if there's an explanation for it that maybe we're not aware of. Or how someone could search it. We know it's not searchable, but to give us a better, you know, background of what they have done, maybe question him maybe on some of the reasons why.
And he would also be able to come, I would think, with an estimate of the number of sole source and proprietary contracts. I know that.
So, yeah.
Yes.
I know that that figure can be pulled from somewhere. So that would be interesting. Of like the 10,000 contracts the city enters into a year, what percent are proprietary and sole source?
Didn't we just have something a little while ago where they said they didn't even know how many contracts the city had out, much less which ones were sole source?
Don't listen to this, Dave. Anyhow, that is something to drill down. If we can't drill down on the money issues, that's really, the citizens would like to know about everything, but they really want to know about the money issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we can take a look at your analysis when it's sent over to us, and then during our next meeting, have Greg attend. We'll probably have questions for him, but maybe he can also give us a demonstration. Do we want to add any other goals? We have so much accomplished already.
Is this the place where, when we were talking more with target one or two organizations proactively?
think it was somewhere. Yeah, it's in the overall duties for the office, which is on the flip side of that page, a community education plan, including citizen outreach, citizen groups. It's not in this committee specifically.
Okay.
I mean, you may want to add a goal of monitoring what the state legislature is doing. Because I just heard last week that there's a bill to change the Sunshine Law. And the Sunshine Law just goes to the heart of transparency in the state of Florida. And there's a bill, and I don't know if it'll get much traction. We have a legislative liaison for the city. Kirby, what is the person's name?
Lene.
Lene. It used to be Paula.
Right. She's the Duval Delegation Coordinator, and she tracks all the legislation that various persons and departments in the city are interested in.
Okay. We need to do a follow-up item to have Lene track this bill that's been introduced to change the Sunshine Law and make it consistent with state officers and local officers. In other words, the state legislature can, if you're all members of the state legislature, and I wish one of you were, you cannot, as a local official, talk to each other at all. At the state level, Dave can talk to Leslie as long as there's only two of you. You can't meet with three of you. The two of you can meet. And then Leslie could go and meet with John.
Ow.
No, but then Leslie comes and meets with John, and then by the time you get to the committee, everybody's met one-on-one with everybody. And, you know, so the bill is to change local Sunshine to that. So I would think that monitoring that and having Lanai keep us posted as to any movement on that bill so that, you can analyze what's going on would be important.
Would that also be under legislative?
It
yes.
came up
yeah,
in
yeah.
our committee meeting when we spoke with the First Amendment executive director. And I'm sure it's probably on my agenda for that meeting where I wrote down the actual bill numbers. And so I think it would be a combination maybe of legislative.
We're just monitoring it. We're not doing anything yet. But if there's a move on that, then everybody needs to be able to react pretty quickly. You know how quick things can go in Tallahassee.
Right on my agendas usually.
And really with legislative, if it's clearly a transparency issue, maybe it really, the home should be with your committee because legislative certainly has their hands full on a lot of other things.
That's true. We can certainly add that to our goals if everybody agrees. At this stage for monitoring. And what we can do is, I wrote down the bill number somewhere, but I don't know where it is, at least.
I can get that
from
for
last
you.
Meeting. You have it. Okay. So we can get that out to everyone to start taking a look at it and monitor it. And hopefully it doesn't go anywhere and we don't have to worry about it at all. Okay, so we'll add that as our goals. Any other goals to add? Or, yeah, for our strategic plan.
Just for clarification purposes, one of the things that the internal operating committee that has oversight of the strategic plan had discussed and wanted each of the committees to do was to look at these. These were ones that were come up through a prior strategic planning session with the commission, and they just wanted each committee to look at them and say, are these truly things that we want to do? Are these things that belong within our committee? Is there a different role we should be taking on, a different area of interest? So you're not limited to what's on the paper, essentially.
Do we need to take any formal action in regards to the strategic plan for our committee? Okay, so would it be to approve the strategic plan for the Open Government Committee? Do we have a motion with the revisions that we noted during the meeting?
Motion.
Second.
All right, any discussion? Talk about your second.
Nope.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Okay. Our next item on the agenda is the proposed ordinance 2017-160 regarding public comment and participation at city council meetings. Carla, did you want to give an overview? Or, I mean, it's most of us have probably been following along with this, and the most important distinction is between when someone can talk about a bill and then when you have to give your name and address to for discussion.
Right.
So,
I mean, if anybody wants, I just in a nutshell, we've got two kinds of ways a person can address city council. One is the official way that Florida law requires, which is bill number 52 comes up. You have the right to stand up there, and there's got to be an official time where you can say, I don't like bill 52. I do like bill 52. And that's official. Florida requires it. It's set. Then our city council at the end and in the middle of the council meetings has this general public comment where you can get up and talk about anything. You don't like national politics. You don't like the tax structure. You don't like your next door neighbor. I mean, you can say anything you want at public comment. So they've distinguished those two types of meetings. And they said on the official ones that we have to have by Florida law, you do not have to say your address on the record. But if you want to do this optional public comment, then you have to give your address in an audible tone. And that's the only, now that you have the legislation in front of you, that's the only sticking point here as far as I'm concerned. It's up to you on whether you want to take a position on that. I always felt that, for example, like sometimes young kids come to city council, and you know, this is the only time they've come to city council, and they're going to address the city council about something with their Boy Scout troop or whatever, and they have to give their home address. I would not want a child of mine to give a home address on TV where people, I wouldn't want to do it as a woman. Maybe, you know, there are people that don't care about that, but I think to require it of one group and not require it of the other, the justification for it with city council is, well, we need to know what district they're in, if they're in my district or not. Okay, good. Well, ask them what district they're in.
Right.
You know, and city council, the city council director said that she could have someone posted there if they don't know they're on the computer giving parking passes to everybody. If you don't know your district, they could just plug in your address and they'll tell you what your district is. So that satisfies, like, are you in my district? Well, they're coming on a zoning issue. Are they in this neighborhood? You can ask them. Please state if you're within a 3-block radius of this zoning issue. But to give your home address on TV, and then the argument I've heard is, well, no one checks to see if they told the truth. Well, are we just allowing people to lie then and say that? I mean, you either think it's a valid thing to ask for people. I think it is a chilling effect. So that was why, you know, so it's now going to city council. You know.
Now, didn't they bring up last time, the last meeting we had, that there was a way around this, that people could go and have their address on file with the clerk of the court, or I don't know how, because they brought up Curtis Lee does it. He says, my address is on file. And there's
right,
some of the regular speakers say that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that something that we could add in our education piece that you, if you didn't want to do this? I don't know. I think we should, our position should be no, but if we lose, because
they give a blue speaker card, and that has their address on it.
Right.
And then that's kept by legislative affairs. I suppose if someone really wanted to figure out where so-and-so lived, they could go up to legislative affairs, do a public records request to get a copy of it by that time. Yeah, you'd have to have a lot of effort to find someone's address. It's so you can find it because everybody who speaks hands in that little blue card.
Right.
You know, so they do know that. And then one council person said, well, can't we just take that blue card and scan it? And then if we want to know if they're in our district, we can take a look at the blue card.
Right.
And it can be right up on the computer. So I think there may be a computerized way. I mean, why do we have little blue cards anyhow? Why isn't all of that just done digital?
Right.
Like you want to speak and you should be able from your cell phone to type in that you want to speak on an issue and it goes right up to the council and they pull you up. So we're in an antiquated system. So there's got to be a better solution here that doesn't produce the chilling effect.
I think we should certainly let council know that procedure for when they're speaking on a bill that we're happy that the person, people no longer have to give their name and address audibly, but we'd like to see that
consistent.
Yeah. Because I think if it's okay to speak on a particular bill, then it should be okay to speak in general. I don't understand. That was the question I'd asked, just so you know, I asked Carla directly, is whether or not council drew a distinction as to why it was important to do these in different ways. And there just didn't seem to be necessarily a reason. And if they're willing to do it one way, where you don't have to announce your name and address, then that should be sufficient for all times that comments are made before council.
And that would include consistently throughout the committees and everything.
Well, see, they don't. The General Counsel's office is giving an opinion that, it's optional whether they ever get to speak at the Rules Committee or Finance or any of the subcommittees. So you could have a very important one, which is a different issue, but you could have a really important issue, and you missed your one time that you can comment on it. You missed it. But now it's coming up 2 weeks later in the Rules Committee, so you want to speak about it then. I'm sorry, you missed the public comment time over here, and we're not allowing public comment. Now, the flip side to that from a council person that I thought, you know, I hadn't considered before and is valid, he said, look, we got 2 hours for these committee meetings. We've got about 50 bills. We're the decision makers. People can email us. They can set up meetings at any time. We listen to that. But when we get here for our 2 hours, if we have, like, all these comments, we don't get to do our actual business. And that's a valid point. You know, so, I mean, how do you balance? I mean, you could have 10-hour meetings to listen to everybody. And citizens do have the ability to send an email to all council members. I don't think a lot of them know how to do that, which, again, gets back to education. Or how do you set up appointment times with council people to see them? How do you advocate other than waiting for a city council meeting to stand up and say your piece? There are other ways. So maybe that hooks back to the education again.
Is that built in your education currently?
No. We tell them who their council person is and the address, and they know that. But I think sometimes people, I don't think people have a back off on calling or sending an email. I think that a lot of that comes in. So anyhow,
I don't think people realize that they can't speak at a committee meeting. I think they go, if they wanted to go, they don't realize it until they get there that you're not allowed to speak and, you know.
Well, it's the option of the chair. It's the option of the chair. So sometimes the chair will open it up. The chair opened it up on the bill on public comment to have public comment, which was, you know, pretty obvious that you should have it for that bill. But one of the things that I think you could do as chair of this subcommittee is meet with the sponsor of this bill and see if you can't, before the meeting on the 13th, get a little bit more of a thinking process of the council on this.
This is a Rules Committee bill, so I don't know who in particular. I think General Counsel drafted it and Rules Committee agreed to adopt it, and then it's coming up in their next meeting.
It was John Crescenbeny who originally he sponsored the bill last year, and then he was the one that brought it up this time. And I would think he's such an advocate for ethics and transparency. It would be very interesting to get his viewpoint on, you know, his committee and, like, what's going on with this, or maybe the chair, too.
Okay.
So maybe you can't do it as a group, but you're, you know, if your chair wanted to get, like, one or two opinions so that we could speak on their behalf, because if you sponsor a motion in favor or against this particular bill, but you haven't even talked to the council people, that, you know, I think it'd be important to get their viewpoint and even invite one of them if they want to come and speak to the next Ethics Commission meeting.
Okay.
Before you formulate a final position, because there might be all kinds of good reasons for it.
So for report back to the entire commission would be, we've talked about it, this is what we'd like to hear more, and resolution afterwards.
And
you don't need a resolution from here to go to the...
I think you need a little more data before you do, but it has to be done probably March 13th because the public comment on this bill is the next day. You know, and so we would be able to read a resolution at that meeting. We could definitely bring it up, but if you go past that time period, I don't think that would be good. So that means you need to be ready to move on the 13th. Yay, nay, we love it, we hate it, you know, whatever the position is of the Ethics Commission. And that's why maybe a little bit of digging around and at least talking to two or three of the Rules Committee members by phone, not an official meeting, but just give me a feel for it. Yeah.
So we are not going to be able to make an actual recommendation on this ordinance yet until we get more information. And that's the way I felt, too. It's like, why did they do this distinction? No, if there was an explanation. Okay. Anything else for new business? Have anything else for new business? Go into public comments. Do we have anyone here for public comment?
Yes, I would like to.
Please. Oh, I guess we don't have our podium fully set up.
I'm Danny Ferreira. I serve on the True Commission, and we're going through an internal review of trying to restructure and structure ourselves so that we're more pertinent to the issues that go before council, but trying to be in that posture of being a helping hand and not trying to, you know, rule the nest. But I'm not speaking as True. I'm speaking not for, but as a member of CPAC. Our CPACs, and I'm speaking for my personal CPAC, which is Planning District 6, Citizens Planning and Advisory Committee. And we meet once a month, and we have a great attendance. We meet in the Senior Center out at the Community Center in Ocean Way, and our attendance is good. We have representatives from various departments of the city, including the Sheriff's Department, and we get all these very important reports from them to us as registered associations of homeowners, businesses, and such. And our attendance is good. A product from ethics, as you're discussing to put together, would be greatly appreciated. I think a presentation to our public, our CPACs.
I think that's a great idea.
And maybe, you know, putting it together and getting it precise as to short, this is what you know, will help you understand, because we do have members that show up. And as was indicated, it's one time, once a year, once every two or three. But we do have the regular members that are very understanding of the legislative tracking and the land use changes that we look at in PUDs when they're putting housing development. And our area of town is really, really booming housing. So we're really watching that as a citizen advisory group. Meeting on a neighborhood association registered group with representatives from the various departments of the city, showing up and giving us a report about solid waste, about JEA, JTA. We've got all the representatives, and it's really a good organization. And I hope that the other six are structured, or the other five are structured, and the attendance is as good as ours. So I think that would be a key area for y'all's product to really be rolled out and presented to them, just prior to a regular monthly meeting or maybe just at a special time, whatever y'all might try to choose to get that group together. But that was my public comments to kind of add to having just showed up here today.
Well, we appreciate you coming and joining us
title
today.
And topic.
Yes, definitely. And we'd appreciate if you have an opportunity to review the webinar that we have on the website and maybe give us some feedback as we work on trying to improve it. Yes, right away.
A lot of us will, you know, that are very much interested in the topic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would hope that myself and others.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to speak, but since you're from Oceanway, maybe I need to go to that center. But my name is Hazel Gillis. I'm the immediate past president of the First Coast Tiger Bay Club. I'm also president of Duval County Democratic Black Caucus. And I really like the education part that you're going to put together, and we really need that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And if you
could
leave,
I'm going to enlist you ladies.
Yes.
To please take a look at it and let us know.
And please leave your email address for us so we can contact you, and maybe you can review the course for us.
Thank you so much. My name is Ingrid Montgomery, and I, too, am a community organizer and also president of the Democratic Women's Information Network here in Duval County. And we were just here today for the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women to get more information about them, their meeting, whatever, they're reorganizing. And so we saw an opportunity, an open door, and we decided to come in, and are we delighted. This is exactly what we need. Thank you so much, and I look forward to the webinar and other ways of learning that you're going to offer.
Thank you. Okay. Well, do we want to go ahead and set a date and time for our next meeting looking towards the end of March? Do we want to wait until the end or just maybe about 3 or 4 weeks? Well, that is 3 or 4 weeks.
Do you want to set it at the 13th when we're a little bit further down the line? We don't necessarily need to set it today.
Oh, that would be fine. That would be fine.
Let's get a better grip on where we're at on the 13th.
And
then we can set up for the week maybe of the 27th because we're going to start getting back onto, we might get on a real tight schedule for the April meeting. Let's gauge it when we get closer.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, unless there's any other business, we are adjourned.
And we need everyone's email addresses since you just happened to find your way here. Well,
nice job.
I'm an
Very
attorney
nice.
With a kid to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, we got to
get a lot of accomplishments as a mother.
Let me tell you, you can get it done. Exactly. Got to stay on message and stay on point and keep it moving.